New Zealand honey producers have been dealt a blow in their many years-long fight to trademark the name Mānuka honey and stop Australian beekeepers using the name. That's after the Intellectual Property Office of New Zealand ruled against the application. Linnell Tuffrey-Hoodia is with us today. Linnell is an expert on trademarks and copyright, both here and in Australia. She was the first Māori patent attorney. It is recognised as a leading expert on Indigenous intellectual property rights, Māori intellectual property and trademark protection. I'm assuming she's still with Kahui Legal, but it's also wonderful to welcome you to the program once again. Linnell, tēnā koe. It's great to have a yarn again. Kia ora, tuenia.
Oh, tēnā koe, Dale. It's great to be back again. Thank you for having me.
Still with Kahui?
Yes, still with Kahui Legal.
Good. Look, this is a really interesting area, and we don't get too many who delve deeply as you have into some of the implications of our patent and trademarking legislation in our country and how it's affected too in international fora. So we're conscious that the discussion about the use of Mānuka ended up in Britain, who made a ruling on it. And does that affect our legal status of the kaupapa in Aotearoa, the findings on the other side of the world, Linnell?
Well, the decision in New Zealand talks about the UK decision, and also we've had an adverse decision in other countries as well, including Europe and China. And the Assistant Commissioner did refer to those decisions, but she also says that she's, that these decisions are in different jurisdictions that have different legislative frameworks, different laws that apply. And so whilst they have are interesting, they don't influence her decision here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, because we have our own laws. Having said that, though, the New Zealand legislative framework in relation to intellectual property is based on, you know, the Anglo-American intellectual property system that was, you know, that influenced our legislative framework. And so as a consequence, the principles that apply are very similar, and so that's why we've seen a similar interpretation here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Tēnā koe. Is it just the Aussies we're battling here? Because they say, oh, listen, Mānuka is a term that we use too. Are there other nations that use the same term to describe their honey?
Well, we are aware of other producers in other countries using that name in relation to honey. There is produced from the same plants, and we are aware that seeds from Aotearoa, Mānuka plants have been distributed around the world and planted overseas, and there is honey produced from those trees that they are calling Mānuka honey. But our argument is that Mānuka is a Māori word. It has significant, you know, whakapapa here in Aotearoa, and so therefore, you know, it is indicative of honey that's produced from Mānuka trees here in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
Thanks, Linnell. So our Intellectual Property Office of New Zealand ruled against the application for it to be regarded as a Māori term and therefore a Māori marketing opportunity. Is the decision in New Zealand guided by, as you say, Anglo-American patents and intellectual property backdrop? Is this indicative of the limitations of conventional international property law to protect Indigenous rights?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's it demonstrates the constraints and limitations that intellectual property framework has, the inability for that framework to recognise Indigenous perspectives and Indigenous principles. It's not built to recognise those principles and a te ao Māori perspective. Consequently, we have this. That is why we have this decision. The decision fails to recognise the distinctive nature of the word Mānuka and its association with Māori.
So in a way, Aussie honey makers have misappropriated reo Māori and culture, ne?
Exactly. And I don't know if you've seen in the other interviews with the spokesperson from the from AMHA, and he talks about Manuka now being an Australian word. It's an Australian word, and so they should be free to use it. And obviously that's quite offensive and as you say, misappropriation.
The findings from here in Aotearoa through our intellectual property office here, I'm a bit nervous because we still have unresolved why 262, which looks at flora and fauna and taonga species and roa Māori, and if they couldn't get it right or make a decision pertinent to our own land in this case, it doesn't give us great confidence that they'll make the right calls when we come to discuss the heady issues raised in Y262, does it?
That's exactly right. And the government has stalled for many years on this issue and failed to respond to the Y262 claim and the Y262 report. And while some progress has been made and work has been done, it's just been too slow, and we've been calling for urgent action in the space for years, and it needs to happen now because, like you said, the fact that we can't even protect our taonga in Aotearoa, New Zealand is, you know, is extremely concerning and makes it much more difficult for us to do the same internationally.
Thanks, Linda. Does this ruling mean it's futile to continue to fight? I mean, is the game up, or is there some other course of action to address this perceived injustice?
Well, we're still carrying out that assessment. It's definitely a challenge. We had pinned a lot of our hopes on getting a favourable decision here in Aotearoa, but it doesn't end the fight. We, you know, it doesn't end the war, if I can say it that way. We are going to review this decision and consider whether it's we should file appeal or whether we should adopt a different strategy, and that is still to be decided. So we'll work through that, and we will continue this battle.
Tēnā koe. We're forced to challenge at times organisational structure. And so when we look at, for instance, and I never have, but I'm hoping you have, at the intellectual property office of our land, I mean, nothing should be said in concrete. And so if there needs to be a change of the guard, more tangata whenua input into that decision-making process, then slowly but surely we need to push in that direction. Is that something that you see as a priority so that we can mitigate against these sorts of findings, which quite obviously disadvantage us as First Nations or Indigenous peoples?
Absolutely. You know, the Y262 report recommended new structures and regimes to protect our taonga, Te Tau Mata Whakapūmau, which is a rōpū that's been established to respond established from the iwi of the original claimants in Y262 and representatives from the whānau of the from the original claimants. You know, they are pushing for a taonga framework to be established. We need these frameworks to be established because we are not protecting our taonga, and these steps need to be taken urgently.
Thanks very much. Those who are producing honey, obviously, they are mindful that it could actually hit them in the back pocket quite significantly. Is there some recourse for them? We've talked about the potential to change perhaps the makeup of the intellectual property office in Aotearoa, but is there some legal challenge still available to honey producers of Manuka honey here in Aotearoa, many of them Māori?
Yeah, I mean, New Zealand is difficult because we have we can continue in New Zealand. The situation is that we don't import honey, and so therefore the Manuka honey that is available in Aotearoa is from our producers in Aotearoa. The biggest issue we have is internationally and in our exporting market. And one of the issues that we see is that the Australians are using the name Manuka in association with honey that is produced from other leptospermum varieties, and not the variety that is found here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And, you know, the option, there is an option available for us to explore the fact that they are misleading the consumer by doing that. You know, the decision was very clear that Manuka honey comes from the variety that's found in Aotearoa. And if they are using that name in association with honey from different varieties, then that is misleading the consumer, and perhaps there's actions that we may be able to take in that regard.
Tēnā koe, Tuahina. Appreciate your thoughts and expertise, skin in this game. It's an area we don't talk about a hell of a lot, but it's fascinating to have a discussion with you about intellectual property rights, etc. And all the best to you and the team at Kahui. Thanks for spending some time with us again, Linnell.
Ngā mihi tau.
Tēnā koe, sis. Thanks a lot. Linnell Tafuri-Hudia, skillful. Nē.